You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network. All right, my thanks to Scott Husing for joining us. You know, again, his book Echo in Ramadi. Not every book takes a look at kind of the backside of the war, and I want to compliment him because if you're interested in writing a piece of history and making sure that, you know, where you fought was, is memorialized and, then I guess that certainly has its place. So, but I think my own personal opinion is there's such a broader story to be told out there, that's so compelling. One of the stories is, one of the great stories to come out of the war is, the rise of an organization called the Semper Fi Fund. The Semper Fi Fund grows out of the real need of families here, predominantly on the West Coast, during 2004, when we had so many casualties. And those families had to, out of their pocket, pay to fly and stay back at back in Washington D.C. because their husband was in a was in Bethesda Naval Hospital or Walter Reed, and the expenses, you know, on, you know, what you make in the military were simply not doable. So wives began the Semper Fi Fund and is now a huge organization. They have an administrative cost of, I want to say, less than 5%. I want to say 3%, but I haven't checked lately. And so Wendy Lethine, whose husband, Clark, was the operations officer for the division, when we went to Ramadi in 2004 and to Al Anbar, when this kind of blew up, he was a division opso, nicknamed Big Toe. And so, but these women were absolutely incredible. So Scott's book is awesome in that it tells the whole story, not just of a unit at a place. Joining me is the intrepid Mike Musselman. What's going on, man? First of all, where are you at, and what are you doing?
I'm in Acton, which is part of Hood County. It's a small little town where Buck shops at.
So you're at Buck's Boot Barn?
We're actually walking down the sidewalk, but yes.
What are you guys doing?
Going around the back. Going to have lunch with Biff and Ralph.
With Biff and Ralph?
What are you guys up to?
What are you doing, your Marty McFly impersonation today?
Yeah, no kidding, that's right.
Do you have on your red inner tube jacket? Flotation?
Yeah, I got my, the self-tying sneakers.
Exactly, and your hoverboard.
And my hoverboard.
Hey, okay, let's talk about some stuff. Trade war with China. Right. Good idea, bad idea?
Yeah, good idea.
Yeah, I say necessary idea. China has weaponized their economy, and they extort stuff, your technology, bring your factory here, and at some point you got to push them away, and when you push them away, there's going to be some pain. It's part of going to a better place, I think, my own personal opinion.
Right.
All right, next question. President's lawyer resigned. Is that a big deal? John Dowd.
Yeah.
Former Marine.
Yeah, that is.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Why do you think why do you think it's a big deal?
I think what he's starting to realize is there's some shit surfacing and he can't do nothing about it. You know, there's a couple life rafts left and he's got his eyes on one and he just took it.
All right. Now, how about this? My sister sent me this. Mr. Rogers was a Navy SEAL. He wore the sweater to cover the tattoos on his arms. He is credited for 22 kills in the Vietnam War. A real man, a real hero. Also, another child activist was Captain Kangaroo, a Marine who stood up and directed his men on the beach. These two badasses went on to help our youth. God bless them. Captain Kangaroo, is he a war hero?
I think that's a false.
It is false.
I remember reading about that.
Bob,
that's false.
But. Bob Keeshan, later famous for being television's Captain Kangaroo, enlisted in the Marines, but did so too late to see any action during World War II.
Right.
He was born in 1927, enlisted 2 weeks before his 18th birthday, several months after the fighting on Iwo Jima. In 1997, in an interview, Keeshan explained that he enlisted in the U.S. Marines but saw no combat because he signed up just
right.
before we dropped the atom bomb.
Right.
So my sister, 0 for 2. And the other one you hear is Lee Marvin, fought on Iwo Jima.
He was. He was a decorated war hero.
Yeah.
Silver Star.
Lee Marvin was wounded in Saipan, not on Iwo Jima. And, and he is buried in Arlington National Cemetery.
Yeah, he is.
He was.
But I know he's a Silver Star recipient. And isn't his rank on his tombstone?
Lee Marvin, PFC.
Yeah.
But it doesn't say Silver Star or Purple Heart on it.
What he was famous for, what he wanted was on that tombstone, he wanted PSC because he was nothing more proud of that than anything else in life.
He played a tough guy in the movies, man. I love that guy.
Yeah.
It says he was not, as some versions of this piece claim, awarded the Navy Cross. So I have to look that up.
No, he wasn't.
I have to look that up if your Silver Star legend is correct. But to my sister Susan, sorry man, you gotta look this shit up. Stolen valor. All right, we talked about this months ago. Good deal or bad deal that Minneapolis is charging that police officer who shot that woman in the stomach across the chest, across the face of his partner. Is that a good thing or bad thing?
Say that again?
Remember the guy who shot the woman in the stomach in Minneapolis? He reached across, shot across his partner without getting out of the vehicle. Good thing or bad thing?
Shooting someone in the stomach?
No, that the city of Minneapolis is charging him with murder. I want to say third-degree murder and manslaughter. Is that a good thing?
He was already acquitted, though.
No, he wasn't. They've been that stuff's been in front of the grand jury. No, you're talking about the other guy. No, don't you remember? These are the two guys sitting in their vehicle, and they pull up in an alley because this woman has called them about a possible sexual assault in the alley. She came out. She's walking up to the driver's side. There's some kind of pop or whatever behind the vehicle. The police officer sitting in the passenger side draws his weapon and shoots across his partner's chest and hits her in the stomach and kills her. Do you remember that?
I don't know anything about that. That's the first time I heard about that.
No, it's not, man. What are you? You have Alzheimer's now?
Yeah, I must have because
all right.
I remember the one that when a woman was Facebook, she was FaceTime in the shoot, but I don't know.
No, this is the that's the other one. That was in the Minneapolis St. Paul area. This is no, you and I talked about it. I cannot believe this.
No, I think you're just making that up. We didn't talk about it.
Oh, we did. I'll go pull the audio, all right, and play it for you. Marines set to replace handgun stock with the Army's newest pistol.
Hello.
You fired up about that?
No, I don't care.
You don't care? All right.
No, I don't care.
The Marine Corps is going to get this pistol, and we'd like the smaller version of it. The Corps plans to buy 35,000 pistols at $180 a pop. That's a pretty good deal, isn't it?
Well, then that's even more troublesome, because what was the total buy? What was the cost, taxpayers? Do you remember? For the Army.
Oh, no, I don't remember. I'm looking if it has that in the article. Hey, the total cost of
it does. In the Army.
The Army one, Beretta, not Beretta, Sig Sauer won a $580 million contract to build 200,000 handguns for the Army. All right.
Okay, so 200,000 times $180 is what?
200,000? Oh, okay.
Well, you just said the Army's buying 200,000.
Okay, hold on. Let me get my calculator out. 2100000 times. Is this going to be a big number, you think?
No, it's going to be about
$36 million.
Oh. 200,000 divided by, or 200,000 times $180 is 36. Yeah, $36 million.
Right. The Navy said it was going to acquire 61,000, and the Air Force said it was going to acquire 130,000.
Okay, no. Let's. Okay, so the contract is for $550 million?
$580 million. Yes.
And the actual procurement of items is $36 million.
Correct.
Where is the other $544 million?
Well, it's going to the service contract that lasts for 10 years.
Oh, 10 years?
Yes, it's a 10-year contract.
You're telling me that the insurance contract, that's basically what it is, the maintenance tail, the insurance contract for that, for pistol, so let's do 10 divided by, you know, $580 million divided by 10. That comes to $58 million a year. Right? $58 million a year. And so if you wanted to do that, then $58 million divided by, you know, $220,000. And that, you know, we're talking, what, $5 million per copy? A $5 million insurance policy per handgun. Can we call that a deal?
Yes. The Army is calling that a deal. $580 million. One, two, three.
I mean, I don't get it.
Divided by 200,000.
Someone should be raising the alarm.
Equals. That means it's going to cost $2,900 per handgun that the Army purchases. And And you're telling me that's not a good deal.
why isn't this in the news?
Because we have sexual harassment in the news. We have the president. We have the Chinese. We have
it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out someone is getting screwed.
That's not even. So that's not even $1 billion. So I mean, look, we had those. What were the ships? The class of frigate or destroyer that was we were going to get 16 of, and now we're only getting three of.
Oh, the Zumwalt.
How many $1 billion went from like $1 billion a copy to like $9 billion a copy? Right. So that's what we're used to. So come on, $580 million, and you want me to get excited about it? Okay, so I'm not. All right.
Yeah, I guess.
Hove-like drone pack could resupply far-flung Marines with a push of a button.
Yeah, this is Buck Rogers.
Yeah, what is a hive-like drone going to bring me? An MRE? A magazine?
It'll bring you,
some toilet paper?
Whatever you want. You put your order in, and it comes.
Could it bring me a pizza? We'd like a pizza out here on Fob Musselman, right? And hold the anchovies, no problem, boys. going to get that thing right out to you. Okay?
Yeah.
Keep your app open so we can find you.
I wonder what the drone insurance policy is going to be for drone
radio. That's going to be, yeah, and you're going to have to take the civilian operators because our monkeys aren't going to be able to do it. Marines consider forward-firing rockets from the Osprey. Yeah, then.
Oh, for God's sake!
Those guys are
going
to. Those guys are going to.
Are you doing the?
No,
is this
I'm not.
The episode where you tell me this is like, do I get to choose between truth or?
No, I'm just chumming. I'm just teeing them up for you. That means those guys are going to be fighter pilots, yes?
Yeah, half wing ones.
Tilt wing fighter pilots. That's right. That's right. The email.
Buck doesn't understand. Once a Marine, always a Marine.
He doesn't understand that saying?
Yeah, he's sitting right here and he's listening to me. He goes, he doesn't understand. He's not in the Marine Corps anymore. No, I am, Buck. I'm just
still
getting paid for it.
Buck, shut it, okay? Just don't even go there, okay? Don't even go there. We know you're a bro, Buck, but you're not a Roebuck. So what are you guys having for lunch? Are you guys at the Petroleum Club, or where are you guys going?
No, we're at a new place called the Burger Barn.
The Burger Barn? Did you PT today? Did your fat ass PT?
Yes.
You did? You're lying to me. I could tell. You said that too fast.
I will.
Okay. You know what? I know my friend so good it's stupid. Okay. Next question.
Yeah, I know.
Next question. Do you like to go to spouse, like husband and spouse meetings for your command? Like, okay, we're going to have spouses and husbands present at a meeting. Okay. Do you like to go to those?
Yes, as much as I like putting hot pepper sauce and salt in my eyes.
They are, and there's always one spouse that is like is spoiling for a fight, right? And everybody's the one, and everybody's looking at her husband like, dude, control that woman, would you?
Why are you doing this to me today? Why are you getting me upset?
And he's just, Mike, describe what he's doing. He's sitting there as this woman gets into, like, the CO and the first sergeant and whoever else. I'd like to know who thought it was a good idea. All right, Mike, describe that meeting.
Well, I've only been to one. I always elected not to go, but I'm the guy that sits in the back and then walks in the hallway. And I don't think Tina ever went.
She never went?
No, she hated that stuff.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting.
Yeah.
It's just like troop information sessions. Look, it's not going to be a bitch session, okay? If you have a complaint, there's a way to vent it. We're not going to get together and everybody talk about what they're pissed about, okay? This is not a democracy.
Right.
It doesn't work like that, all right? The Another email. Mac, you were just talking about the Semper Fi Fund. That is an example of something great that has come out of this war. I have to say, the more that I looked at different organizations, that one is awesome. Mike, your thoughts? That one is, Semper Fi Fund is awesome. It's, you know.
It's probably one of the great organizations that are out there.
My sister just texted me. Whoa. I guess you can't believe what you read on the internet. No.
Buck's getting a triple cheeseburger.
Is he? Is he going to PT? Does Buck PT?
No.
When was the last time Buck PT'd? You should take Buck and PT his ass.
Patty Melt with onion rings.
Whoa, hey, you better PT twice with that.
Patty Melt's better than that triple cheeseburger that Buck's getting.
They're both right in there, bro, especially with the onion rings, a little salt, right? And
that's
then
what he got.
And then a lot of ketchup. A lot of ketchup. No, it's a great American meal, man. You know what? I can't eat wheat anymore, and it's killing me. Can't eat a cookie.
Why?
Because it's got wheat in it.
It's got what?
It's got wheat in it.
You can't eat wheat?
Wheat. Wheat. Wheat.
Why?
Because I'm allergic to it. My body reacts to it. Yeah.
I never heard of that. A wheat allergy?
You've never heard of a wheat allergy? Look it up when you get off the phone, man. Yeah.
No, I never heard of it.
Oh, my God. No, it sucks, man. Whatever. So, hey, what does Buck get to drink with his triple cheeseburger?
He's drinking a tea.
Tea? What about you? What do you drink?
Yeah. Tea.
Tea? Are you guys getting an hors d'oeuvre? Chips and salsa?
No.
No?
No. No, no hors d'oeuvres.
No hors d'oeuvres? The,
No.
Okay, one more question for you.
Okay. I know what you're doing today. You're trying to get me upset with all these.
No. I'm just teeing them up for you. The news of the day, like, you know, because sometimes you'll come on and you'll say, and you'll have something that you want to get off your chest. Okay, so I'm prepared for that, and that's easy. Other days you come on and you're just like waiting for me to tee something up for you. So then I have to be prepared for that too. So
no. I was in a good mood because last night I was watching What Would You Do? You ever seen that show?
No.
It shows what people, you know, in certain circumstances, when they're exposed to certain circumstances, what they do as far as, like, they had one where they have a homeless person on the street, and then these three actors come up, you know, the homeless person's actor, and then they pick on them and bully them and beat on them and see what people do on the street. And it's pretty amazing what some people do. But then again, it's what other people fail to do. It's, like, even more amazing.
Peace through strength, man. Peace through strength. What about... Hold on. I have one more story. Do you think we should be afraid of China militarily?
No. You know, the problem is, where do you fight that?
They got to go someplace, and we got to meet them someplace. Unless we fight them in like in Pakistan or someplace where they're like cultivating.
Yeah, because you don't want to fight them over there.
Yeah, we're not. We don't have. We how are we going to get there? Yeah,
that's just it. How do you maintain that? You know, logistics train.
We're not setting foot in China, okay? So we're not doing that.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what, and if they tried to project power across the ocean, they would get their asses smoked too.
Yeah.
So it would be a naval confrontation. So, and I wouldn't be afraid of that.
No, I wouldn't be.
I mean, if our guys can get there,
if our guys copies, yeah.
And not drive into each other, then, you know, maybe they could do some damage. All right.
Yeah.
All right, because according to Taiwan spy chief, storm is coming from Beijing because they just made that guy a dictator for life. So now we get to deal with the four dicks, the one in China, the one in Russia, the one in Iran, and the one in North Korea. Right. All of them screwing the planet up. There's a reason that the word dictator starts with the letters D-I-C, okay? That just didn't happen, okay? That's just not a phonetic accident. Another email. Mac, how did you know Mike was lying that fast? I know Mike, okay? Whenever he answers anything about PT that fast, he's lying, okay? Mike used to be Diver Mike, man. He used to be a diving guy, and he used to be a biking guy, right? Yeah. You notice what a shitbag Mike is, right? I ask him for a $6,000 bike, and he says, no, why would I give you a bike? He asked me for a kidney, and what do I say? Yeah, I got two of them. You want one? Go ahead. That's the kind of shitbag Mike is. Yeah, yeah. Remember the day he came on and said, "I might need a kidney."
I don't remember that.
I said, "I got two. You can have one." Yeah. Actually, it was the day you called me from the hospital, and you were in the hospital.
Yeah.
Buck was in there, and Tina was there. And I said, "What's wrong?" He's like, "Oh, I'm in the hospital." I said, "Man, you need to get your fat ass out in PT." I didn't know I was on speakerphone, and Tina yells, "That's what I said." That's why I'm like, I think, what did Buck say? Man, your friends are hard. Your friends are hard on you, man. Anyway, another email. Any dessert today? They have a dessert special?
No.
No dessert?
No dessert.
So
no.
What?
No dessert.
What are the McFly brothers doing after lunch? So hey, Marty, what are you and Biff doing after lunch?
We are then going to be planing some wood in my garage.
Oh, really? For what? What are you planing for?
Planing.
I know.
Planer?
Yeah. What are you planing wood for?
Well, because you need some wood planed.
For what? For what purpose?
I don't know.
You don't ask?
No.
Another email. Hey, as long as we're getting an update on Gunner's life, how about an update on the Corsair? Yeah, we haven't heard about the Corsair in a while.
Yeah, let's drop that.
No more Corsair references. Okay, I got.
Not until I start doing it again.
I got no problem with that. Yeah, it's going to be a while because we haven't heard about the Corsair in a long time. There was a time when we heard about it a lot. Fabric wing.
Yeah.
This thing's going to be awesome. Haven't.
It's all over the house.
So is it?
All the parts are everywhere, so I got to relocate everything, put it back there.
Another email. Hey, Mac, tell the gunner he needs the PT because it's really hard once you become a fat ass. Ask me how I know that. I am a fat ass, and I'm trying to lose weight. I'm trying to lose weight, and goddamn it is so hard, it's ridiculous. So if he's only a semi-fat ass, tell him to get his ass back and PT, because when you become a full-fledged fat ass, it's miserable. Okay, Mike?
It never comes off.
It never comes off. It goes on. It don't come off. All right.
All right.
Is your food there?
Yeah.
All right. We'll let you go. Tell.
All right. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Yeah. Tell Biff and the boys we said hey.
I will.
All right. Semper. Hey. Semper Fidelis.
Yeah. Always.
There he is, the gunner. Another email. I'm sitting at my desk laughing as you speedbag Mike. This is hilarious. Why are you calling him a fat ass? And how did you know he was lying? Like, come on. How do you know your kids are lying? You just know. Like, how did your mom know you were lying? She didn't even have to look at you. She knew you're lying. That's why you can't lie to your mom, because she knows. Look at me. Whoa. Look at me. Say that again. No. You little liar. Come here. Put her cigarette out in your forehead and then tell you, yeah, go ahead. I dare you to say something to the nuns. Yesterday, a friend of mine from grammar school posted on Facebook, Jim Boyle, who I went to grammar school with. And Boyle was kind of an anomaly because he was a taller, bigger guy, but unlike tall, big guys back in the 60s and 70s, he was fast. Yeah, he's a little bit of a freak. And he's a nice guy. So he posted a movie that his mom took in 1969 of us. I wasn't in it, but my school was, in the Camellia Parade in Sacramento. So you have these kids from this Catholic school pulling a float down the street, right? And they're wearing their uniforms, right? The girls wore kind of a plaid skirt that was green, white, and red. The base was green. Actually, their uniforms were nice. And had kind of a white stripe and red stripe in it. Good looking, with a white blouse and a red sweater. That was the girls' uniform. The boys' uniform was black slacks, white collared shirt, right, hard shoes, and a green sweater. That's what you wore to school. On Friday, the girls wore the boys wore a black bow tie. Yeah, I have some pretty awesome pictures of myself in first grade, looking like a man in my little uniform with a flat top, motivator. And then the girls would wear it was this tie that they came out and it crossed and it clipped like right in front. So it was that kind of a thing. And that was red. And so It shows the kids from my school pulling this float, and the float looks like something out of a horror movie. I don't know what it's supposed to be. It looks like one of those crazy looking clowns. But you have other bands, okay? And you have other bands in it, and you have what else was in it? You have other bands in it, and then for the time, like you have like you would have like all black drill teams, and they would have these taps on their heels. And so, I mean, huge afros were like in then. And so you had these like teenage girls with these big afros, and they're like doing these things. And everybody's just standing there kind of watching, because we're going through the civil rights thing, man. Like, oh, like what's going on? And then they were at the big auditorium at the time was downtown. It was called the Memorial Auditorium, naturally. And so the floats all wound up there, and you have these guys. It looks like something out of a Marty McFly movie, you know? All the men have their hair slicked down with sunglasses on, smoking. It's funny to watch. I mean, such a long ways from, you know, and I'll tell you what, in a lot of ways, such a peaceful existence. Because it seems like, because of the creation of the internet and, you know, if you can remember, the stupid news stories and the crazy news stories, were like small little pieces in your newspaper, right? On the back pages, there'd be a little story about something, like the major news stories of the day, whatever the hell they were, dominated the front page, local news, you know, the second page. The third page was editorials, letters to the editor, and then other news, you know. And they were, you know, so this crazy crap that would happen all over the world, we weren't inundated with it by the second. As we are today. So I think that was, so you lived your life, right? You lived your life in a local town, and that was what was real to you. Now it's like the whole nation is caught up in these national discussions. So anyway, I don't think the quality of life is very good. I think it was better back then. I think you were a little bit insulated. And now what do we find out? Facebook is on the take. They're bad actors too. Again, big tech needs to be regulated. Facebook needs to be regulated. Nobody should have that kind of control over the communications on the planet. It should be broken up into companies that operate in different countries. Let them compete. Let them interact with each other. I just if you look at what the Russians were able, the way they were they were able to use Facebook, and God only knows what they've mined out of Facebook, huh? Yeah. Nobody's talking about that. Email about China. I would think the possible U.S.-China fight would almost certainly start and possibly be contained on the water. Possible exceptions. They move to Taiwan. Yeah, that'll be a big fight. They start lobbing shore-based anti-ship missiles into the South China Sea. But again, getting large forces, either one of them, you know, I mean, could you imagine? I mean, they load up. Where would the Chinese send ground troops? I mean, if they invaded the Philippines, invade Taiwan would be the biggest flashpoint. But they've got to, you know, every time they load up a ship and put it to sea, the chances of that ship being sunk are pretty good. Even in just, let's just say it's a peer event. You know, that's getting across that strait. Wow. If they start it and have time to plan it, don't be surprised if they take away the internet, the GPS, and the power grid of the U.S. to kick it off. Yeah, but you know, don't be surprised if we did the same thing. Don't be surprised if we did the same thing. And then what do they do? Wolverines. Yeah. Look, the Chinese are kind of a big boogeyman. I just think that the United States needs to push back on the whole dictatorship thing. It's not good for the country. It's not good for us economically. And I think, you know, they've weaponized their economy. Okay? So in this 20-year period, what are we trying to do? We're trying to transfer all steel production to China. And we have that as a weapon of war, short of war. Like, we can go to war with the United States. We can conquer them, and we don't ever have to fire a shot. Well, how do we do that? We transfer all these key industries. And I will tell you what was it, Cubic Corporation? What was the company that the president said, yeah, it can't be bought by a Singapore company controlled by Chinese money? No, it wasn't Cubic. It's Qualcomm. Yeah. So the game is economic extortion. You weaponize your economy. And not in the name of freedom and free trade and all that, but in the name of, we're going to begin to dictate terms. Yeah, I don't. So, and again, I let me just tell you, I think countries like Germany are the worst countries on the planet. France, one of the worst countries on the planet. You want to know why? They've turtled. They've withdrawn within their own borders, right? They say they're about peace and prosperity, but if you won't defend it, then you're bullshit. Germany's bullshit. And who guarantees it all? The United States. You do, with your tax money. Congratulations. Another email. Hey, Matt, go back to the Captain Kangaroo, Lee Marvin, and Mr. Rogers thing. I've heard that too. I did the same thing your sister did. Now I feel like a jackass. You don't need to feel like a jackass, okay? Captain Kangaroo, that poor son of a bitch. No, he enlisted in the Marines when he turned 18. So here's Captain Kangaroo. Enlisted in the Marines, but he did so on his 18th birthday. Born June 27th. Okay, so he would be eligible to enlist on June 27th, 1945. That's several months after the fighting on Iwo Jima. Okay, and BJ Day would be what, August 9th, the day after the bombing of Nagasaki, something like that, early August. In 1997, during an interview, he explained that he enlisted in the Marines but saw no combat because he had signed up just before they dropped the atom bomb. So in terms of Mr. Rogers, here's... Not only did Fred Rogers never serve in the military, there are no gaps in his career when he could conceivably have done so. He went straight into college after high school. He moved directly into TV work, and after graduating college and his breaks from television work were devoted to attending the Pittsburgh Theological Seminary. He was ordained a Presbyterian minister in 1963 and the University of Pittsburgh's Graduate School of Child Development. Moreover, Fred Rogers was born in 1928 and was therefore far too old to have been a draftee during the period of America's military involvement in Vietnam, which would have been 1965 to 1972, and too established in his career to have run off and enlist. But here's what my sister wrote me. Mr. Rogers was a Navy SEAL. He wore the sweater to cover the tattoos on his arms. He is credited for 22 kills in the Vietnam War. A real man, a real hero. Also, another child activist was Captain Kangaroo, a Marine who stood up and directed his men on the beach. These two badasses went out to help our youth. God bless them. Right? So that's what my sister forwards to me. And you know what? I've seen this stuff before. And then the other one that's mentioned is Lee Marvin. But, Lee Marvin Mike says he's a recipient of the Silver Star. I'm kind of curious now. Is he? Lee Marvin. Does he have a picture of him being a PFC? World War II. Marvin left school at 18 to enlist in the Marine Corps Reserve on August 12, 1942. He's a badass. Served in the 4th Marine Division in the Pacific during World War II. Now, the 4th Marine Division went ashore at Iwo Jima. He, while serving as a member of India Company, 3rd Battalion, 24th Marines, he was wounded in action on June 18, 1944, during the Battle of Saipan. Yeah, that was not a good one. Saipan, there was this mountain there. Tapu Chau Mountain, during which most of his company became casualties. He was hit by machine gun fire, which severed his sciatic nerve. And then he was hit again in the foot by a sniper. After over a year of medical treatment in hospitals, okay, so that would have been June 18th. Yeah, so he's in the hospital as a member of the 3rd Battalion, 24th Marines. So 3rd Battalion, 24th Marines goes ashore in Iwo Jima, but he's in the hospital. After over a year of medical treatment in a Navy hospital, Marvin was given a medical discharge with the rank of Private First Class. He had been a corporal years earlier, but had been demoted for causing trouble. He was discharged in 1945 in Philadelphia. Lee Marvin's military awards include the Purple Heart, the Presidential Unit Citation, the American Campaign Medal, the Asiatic Pacific Campaign Medal, the World War II Victory Medal, and the Combat Action Ribbon. Lee Marvin, American badass. How did he get into movies? After the war, while working as a plumber's assistant at a local community theater in upstate New York, Marvin was asked to replace an actor who had fallen ill during rehearsals. He then began an amateur off-Broadway acting career in New York City and eventually made it to Broadway with a small role in the original production of Billy Budd. In 1950, Marvin moved to Hollywood. He found work in supporting roles and from the beginning was cast in various war films. As a decorated combat veteran, Marvin was a natural in war dramas, where he frequently assisted the director and other actors in realistically portraying infantry movements, arranging costumes, and the use of firearms. His debut was in You're in the Navy Now, and in 1952 he appeared in several films, including Don Siegel's Duel at Silver Creek, Hangman's Knot, and the war drama Eight Iron Men. He played Gloria Graham's vicious boyfriend in Fritz Lang's The Big Heat. Marvin had a small but memorable role in The Wild One, opposite Marlon Brando. Marvin's gang was called The Beatles, followed by Seminole, Gun Fury. Look at all these movies he's in. He also had notable small role as a smart aleck sailor, Meatball, in The Caine Mutiny. Caine Mutiny was a big Humphrey Bogart film, for those of you who remember. He had a substantially more important part as Hector, a small-town hood in Bad Day at Black Rock with Spencer Tracy. He played a convicted, brutal bank robber in Violent Saturday. And what was his big, his first big movie? He also starred in The Missouri Traveler, but over 100 episodes as a Chicago cop, Frank Ballinger, in the successful 1957-60 series M Squad, were needed to actually give him name recognition. One critic described the show as a hyped-up, violent dragnet, with hard-as-nails Marvin playing a tough police lieutenant. Marvin received the role after guest starring in a memorable dragnet episode as a serial killer. He was in the movie Comancheros, John Ford's The Man Who Shot Liberty Valance, Donovan's Reef with John Wayne and Maureen O'Hara. Yeah, so then he starts getting bigger and bigger and bigger. I saw him, the couple of the movies I remember him in, well, one a romantic comedy, Paint Your Wagon. My mom loved that movie. We had the soundtrack. Got a dream, boy, got a song. Paint your wagon and come along. Where you going, I don't know. Oh, my God. Mariah, my mom. Clint Eastwood sings in that movie. Yeah, Clint Eastwood sings in that movie. Yeah. And then the other movie that I remember him vividly in was, The Dirty Dozen. Yeah. He's the head man. He's the OIC and puts together the mob of crazy soldiers that are in the stockade and trains them. Shoots a machine gun at them at one point when they're getting belligerent and then leads them behind German lines, plays a German, but throws on a German uniform and goes into a villa during a big party. That's right. And then his guys blow up. Jim Brown's in it. Yeah. The Dirty Dozen's an awesome movie. Awesome World War II movie. And very much of the period because, you know, people get killed, but you never see them like wince or anything like that. They just go down and you don't see anymore. So very, very clean and antiseptic way of providing it. But Lee Marvin, Marine. No mention of a Silver Star, though. So Mike got to be corrected on that. All right. That's it. That's all she wrote. I'll do it for today. All right. Have a wonderful day. This program repeats itself. If you missed it, Scott Husing joins us. He's written a book called Echo in Ramadi. Check it out. He was a company commander there, but I will tell you that it's a bit of a different book. It's not just about Echo Company in Ramadi. When he says Echo Company, read the story of families and dependents. Read the story of Gold Star families. Read the story of Marines who come home and take their own lives. So, check it out. All you gotta do is just do a search on Echo in Ramadi and you'll find his website. You'll find it on Amazon. And also check out, a nonprofit that Scott's a part of. It's called Save the Brave. So you can check that out. You can find both links will be up on the post that I put up here in a few minutes. So if you want to just wait and find those links there, you're more than welcome to do that. So with that said, we're going to take a quick break. All Marine Radio, this program repeats itself. Yeah, don't be afraid of a trade war with China. And is it going to cost us all a little bit more money? Yep. But you know what? Us in bed with the Chinese, they are bad. Okay? No matter how cheaply they make your iPhone, it's not a good thing. Alright? They're not good. So, we need to just call it what it is and do the right thing. And is there going to be some pain associated with it? There sure is. But don't be afraid of it. We're Americans. We'll get through it. Part of being a great country is doing the right thing. So, have a great afternoon. Take a quick break. This program will repeat itself momentarily. Don't touch that dial.